How you feeling this morning? I'm going to ask one more again. How you feeling this morning? Hey, just because it's a little foggy outside and it's a little wet, don't come in here like, oh, well, it's me. We got plenty of oil here. We'll start with deliverance ministry right now. You should be happy you're in church. Amen. I just want to make sure everybody's awake in here today. That's all. All right, this is what I want you to do. I know we're going to get up, get down, get up, get down. I'm just trying to make you guys go back to the way you used to be before. I'm going to install these little benches that put before you that you can kneel down and get up. And you know why they do that, right? It's just make sure you're awake. No, we have coffee back there, do we not? You guys know you can get coffee and juice when you come in, right? Hello? So we try to make it very welcoming for you. So you have some coffee, some juice, some wine, we had no bananas today, but we got bananas. Lord, send me one. Send me one. All right, now listen. How did y'all do on the fast? Bunch of liars across here. You did good, Pat. When was it over? Listen, when you go on a fast, you ask God. You ask God how to do your fast, right? Some of y'all fasted food, and it's not an issue for you. It's not. So that's not what you should be fasting then. It should be something that's going to challenge you and hurt you. Like, oh, Lord, I shouldn't be getting on social media, but you know what? I'm going to give up food for the day. No, you're going to do the things that cost you something. You feel it. Amen? Something that's sacrificial. Make fasting a lifestyle. Make it a lifestyle. Don't make it, okay, we fasted for the year, we're done. We're done. We're good. We don't have to fast no more, right, Pastor? No, you're going to fast when God tells you. Fasting is going to give you some clarity. Some clarity. It'll give you instructions, and the Lord will speak to you. I'm not saying he won't speak to you any other time, but it helps you. Amen? So when you make it a lifestyle, even if you're just fasting for a Sunday service, that means that you don't eat anything until after Sunday service. Not Sunday day, Sunday service. Okay? That's all that is. It's simple. Somebody said, well, you know, I have to eat something. Then eat something little. You know, I got this low sugar thing, and if I don't eat, I start to get the shakes. And I understand that. You do what you need to do and let God show you. Amen? Make it a lifestyle. Make prayer your very, very top priority. Okay, some of y'all heard, I just heard it like, well, I do pray. I just think. No, don't think. Pray. I know God knows your thoughts. Pray. See, what has happened to Christianity is we have Christians that want to go to church. Hey, amen. Praise the Lord. But then we have Christians that don't want to pray. If you make your time to pray, it can be as you're making the coffee in the morning at home, making breakfast, if you make breakfast, or on your drive to work, drive to school, on the school bus. Sitting at your desk at work, sitting in the mobile office. Or just maybe when you're sitting there at the dinner table and you're talking to your kids. Hello? That's a hint. Get at the table with your kids and have dinner. Ricky, can I just tell him, Ricky? I'm just going to tell him. And are you chilling? Quit running up to your room. Quit running to your rooms. Sit down and eat. Discuss. Learn how to have conversation. Instead of texting mom who's sitting across the table from you. Learn to have conversation. It's all right. And if mom and dad just happen to ask you, how's your boyfriend? I mean, how's your friend doing? Don't get all mad. It ain't interrogation time. And your parents. Don't be interrogating your children and wondering why they're getting mad at you.
Amen.
Amen. Hey. I got a strong amen from over here. Look. The Bible says, children, obey your parents.
Yes, amen.
Ain't that right? Come on. Hey, preacher. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Well, let's finish the scripture. Parents, do not. Don't be provoking your children into anger. You know how we do. Yeah, you know how we do. Parents, they have a way of making your favorite dinner, making your favorite something breakfast, chilaquiles, wieners, salsa, and all that. And that. Whew, fast is over. Hallelujah, the fast is over. But listen, but then they want to ask you, listen, I haven't talked to you. I've been meaning to have this conversation with you. And you're looking at your favorite food like, shabba, shabba. And you want to talk right now? And then parents get mad because we ain't paying attention. Don't try to manipulate the situation. You should be able to have a conversation with your children. Ain't that right? Ooh, I got parents looking at me with those daggers coming from their eyes. I was shouting you down until you went there. Look, we just need to know how to interact with our children and let our children know that it's important that they interact, speak, utilize their English skills. Oh, let me do spell check. Hold on. English communication skills. Because most of them talk to you, they're talking to you looking at their phone. Isn't that right? But don't the parents do the same thing? Look at my children's in here saying, I noticed that there's times that we get together in a house and we begin talking to each other and ding. Then I hear because you messed up and you want to. Then you send it and then you get back to the conversation. And like I was saying, the person that sent you the text is literally waiting on how come you haven't responded when I texted you. There's some things you don't even have to respond to. Just leave it alone. Say it with me now. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Spend time interacting with your family. Not provoking. Not manipulating. But communicating. Amens. This was the first sermon at the House of Manna today. Had to do with family units. Hallelujah. But look. You can put all your notes down. So the pastor's just talking, all right? We're just talking. Y'all look, man, that's going to get real deep now. No. Mm-mm. Not today. Listen, I want to have fun. I walked in today, and I felt God just saying, I've been waiting for you. So I walked around. I was like, Lord, I feel you. What's up in here? He says, there's a different atmosphere. Whole different atmosphere. Are you willing to let me work? What you said? Have your way. Have your way. That's what we're supposed to do. Let God have his way, right? So we let the Holy Spirit minister to us, prepare our hearts to receive. And then we begin to put our focus right on Jesus. Amen? Put your focus on Jesus. Put it on him. He's the quarterback for your team. Now, he ain't the coach calling the plays because this quarterback knows how to do audibles. Some of y'all don't understand. He knows how to get in your very huddle and say, I see what the defense is trying to do. But I got a plan. I got a plan to let you cross that line. I got a plan to make you advance. Oh, I have a plan. But it's going to require you to work with me. It's going to require you to work in tandem with me. Don't try to do it on your own, because then you're the one that's trying to make yourself a superstar. I'm the bright and morning star, so be still. Trying to get people to get together. He's been trying to call the huddle, but ain't nobody listening. What you say? You call, you saying huddle? I ain't where I want to. I want to huddle at the church service today. It's foggy out. I'm just going to sleep in. My only day off, and I stayed up late last night watching the MMA fight. You know, and it stayed up late, and I can't get up, so I'm just going to stay in. We all make excuses. He's been trying to call the huddle. They're like, hey, I got something for you. You just got to come close to me. Just got to come close to me, but y'all don't want to come close to me. I'll wait here for you. You ain't advancing anywhere unless you get with me. That's it. Simple. Simple. Because some of y'all maybe not understand the analogy of football. Because y'all like doing that one sport that it doesn't take a team. Yeah, like Pastor, we have fun for a little bit, didn't you? I'm a team player, but I play golf. Right? Right? Individuality, right? No. No, it's still a team. You don't believe me? I was going to do, you know, communion, but can I just continue? Can we keep the kids in today? Family Sunday? We cool? All right. If they get a little restless, don't worry. Don't worry. Just chill. All right. Now listen, listen. How about when we play golf? How many of you play golf before? Raise your hand. No, like real golf, not putt-putt. You know, with the windmill that goes around, you try to make it. That's not golf. That's putt-putt. But golf. Okay. Now, you may think that you are the individual that is playing, but it's really a team sport. Because you got to utilize the other tools that are in the bag. You can't just be using a driver when you're going to putt. You can't use a driver when you're trying to get out of, was it sand trap? You can't use a driver when you're in the rough. See, what happens is we don't understand the tools that are within us on how to make us be successful as a team. We just think we got to use the same thing we've always used, and that particular instrument is the only instrument in our arsenal. Cricket. Cricket. We have got to learn to reach in our bag. Okay, let's talk about David for a minute. Can we talk about David? No, not King David. I said David. As the boy. That he learned, you know, a slingshot. Have you ever played with the slingshot? Really? What you say, girl? But you played with one? Oh, you're little? Because you're not little no more. Okay. Okay. Now, Chris, you remember when we used to get the slingshots? I ain't going to talk to Chris because we used to get in trouble by playing with those slingshots. You know, first you use a slingshot because you're target practicing at something that's not going to get you in trouble. But then that gets boring, so you practice at something that is a little bit more daring, like a passing car. So, you know, you look it over your cousin. Hey, Chunk, should we do it? Bam, it hits. Boy, you never seen us run so fast. And I ain't talking about the slingshots you go buy in the store. These are slingshots we used to make. We used to make these slingshots out of sticks. You know, we use our ingenuity. We work together as a team to make it work. We get it to work. And then when we get in trouble, we're not as a team. We quickly tell on each other. No, it wasn't me. It was him. Who did it? Go to them. Why? Because he couldn't run fast. He would get caught, right? But listen, listen. So David is a young boy who is out in the field doing daddy's business, right? Taking care of the sheep. Now, sheep herders, shepherds, they know they got to protect from the prey, right? They have to. So don't you think that maybe Jesse, which is David's father, would have said, look at here. I know I got older sons, but I'm going to choose the youngest one to go out there. Does that make any sense to y'all? No, it sure didn't, right? Because the livelihood of the herd is based on who is going to watch over the herd, the flock, right? So you would think that you want to protect your investment by putting someone that knows how to deal with it. Not the youngster that doesn't have any experience. Right, do you see that? See, when you read the Bible, you're like, oh, okay, David, he was a shepherd boy. That was Jesse's son, and he was the youngest. No biggie, no problem. We just read it, and then we move on. But what told Jesse, the father, that David had a special gift? Do you even think about that? Maybe he saw him shooting that slingshot at the passing cars. Maybe he knew that boy right there, he's good with the rock. He knows how to sling that rock. There's something about that boy. I know he plays the flute, the tambourine, whatever. The harp. And he's a good-looking boy. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Now look. I'm looking at my kids, and I'm like, that one can't go out there. That one definitely don't like to be outside getting dirty. The other one, no, the other two, it's too hot, it's too cold, don't have the right shoes. So as a father, you got to look to see, how am I going to protect my investment? But see, daddy looked within the individual and said, yeah, you may be good looking, you can play the harp and you all good, you something or another, you, but you know, there's something inside of you that I see. I'm going to put you out there in charge. And then because your brothers are older, I'm going to send them out to battle. They're going to join the army. But you're going to stay over here. You're going to stay back. You're going to stay back here because there's something inside of you. I don't quite know everything yet, but I do see something. Well, that's the first time that I begin to see something about how Dad in heaven looks at us when we don't see our own potential. So Jesus is the coach right now in heaven. And he's looking at it and says, man, I got to send in some backup and I got to send in the first string, maybe a second string. But they are all equal because they all have the same gift. They just don't know they have it yet. So he's looking down and saying, who am I going to send in? You know, if y'all watched the football games recently, y'all watch football? Okay, are y'all going to watch football today? Oh, okay, I'm just making sure we're all, no, okay. So you have to have an understanding that there's not always the players that are on the field. There's players that are on the sideline. But they're made ready to be ready at any given moment. You understand that, right? And they'll fill a certain position as a backup. But Jesus is looking at the team and saying, I know what's inside of them. That they can fulfill any position that is necessary because I am giving them everything. Okay, some of y'all are starting to kind of follow along. Because there's sometimes that the leader may get a little fatigued, right? And whoever that leader is may just get so fatigued that usually in the fourth quarter they throw interceptions. I won't mention no names, but what usually happens is, you know, so Jesus is saying, I am going to put in a substitute. But the substitute is not less than the first string. Equal with the same ability as the first string. Here's what happens in the body of Christ. We feel that if we're not on A team instead of B team, or first string instead of second, third, fourth, and fifth string, then we're going to get mad because the value is not on us. Because we all want to be first string. We all want our name on our jersey and everybody to know it based on the stats. You ain't following me? But see, what Jesus is saying, well, hold on now. Everybody is vital and everybody is very important in this very thing that we're doing for the kingdom of God. We're advancing the kingdom beyond the point of where we started. But if you don't understand what's inside of you, you'll be getting upset at every facet of the game as opposed to being angry at your opponent. Okay, some of y'all missed that one. Let me slow down a little bit for you. We'll get so caught up in the dynamic of the game, the positions within your own team, and the coaching staff. You know the ones that are up in the box calling in the plays, and the coach has to decipher whether or not it's going to be it, and then he says, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, call the play, because they have a different vantage point. There's a different vantage point that what the coach can't see. They're able to look back of what the defense has been doing, correct? And so what's happening is the coach that is in the skybox is seeing something that the coach on the field maybe not see. So if the coach will listen to the coach that's in the sky, wait a minute, hold on now, there's two coaches? What? And then there's an owner? Oh, yeah. We have the owner, the coach, and the head coach. So we have God, the owner. We have Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit. So we have the owner saying that there's something that we're doing for the kingdom of God. Jesus is on the field right here with you. And the Holy Spirit is given the instruction on what is needed, what we can't see, but we're not in tune to the Spirit, so we can't hear what is going on. So Jesus has to say, it's all right. I know what they need. Just tell me, and I'll tell them. And if they can't hear, don't worry, I got somebody else in there that will step in so we can still get the job done. But I'm not going to forget about them. They're still very important. They may be out of play or a season. They may go down from first string to second or third string. But they're still very vital and important. But I have a plan that's in place right now. And we need to make sure that that plan is executed. And if it's executed correctly, the whole team advances. Do you see that? I mean, are you understanding that? So maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. Give me all the kids over here, please. All the kids. All the kids. If they're sleeping, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't you wake your kid up. Okay. Get all the kids over there. Get all the kids over there. No, you're not a kid, Michael. Well, come on, come on, come on, Dave, come on, come on, come over here, come over here. All right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get down on one knee like this. Everybody get down on one knee. You see how Jeremiah is? Do that again, Jeremiah. All right, everybody do like Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah and do exactly how Jeremiah is. Put your hands right there just on Kit Kat, Kit Kat. Did they wake you up, Kit Kat? So pretty. You're so pretty. Listen, Get on your knees. Get on your knees. Look, look. There you go. Just like that. Just like Jeremiah and Ricky. Your knee. There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. All right. Now listen. Listen. We have a team here. And because what usually happens, we think that people, based on their ability, is whether or not the team is going to be successful. Have you ever run across people like that? They think because they know everything, they got everything, they declare they're going to be successful. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. We got a good team over here. Okay, what's the name of y'all's team? What's the name of your team? What's your name of your team? Hello? What is it? What is it? You want Cowboys? You want Cowboys? Cowboys? Ricky, you want Cowboys? You want your team to be called Cowboys or what? Giants? You want Giants? What do you want? What do you want? The Bears? Which one? Giants? Which one? You don't, okay. This is team I don't know. It's okay. It's all right. Team I don't know, right? Now watch this. Y'all go on that side over there with your daddy. But don't stand with your daddy. Stand over there by the speaker. Y'all go over there. Come on, babies. Come on, the three of y'all. Come on, come on. Go over there with them. Go over there. Come on. Come on. You didn't come to church looking all pretty and all that. You want to be seen. Come on. We'll go see. It's all right. It's all right. Everybody comes dressed up for church, but then when you ask them to do something, you know, you spend about 15, 20 minutes staring in the mirror, getting all ready, you know, penciling the eyebrow, doing the, what do you call it, mascara, putting on the fake ones. You know, you do all that, or you curl, you flatten, whatever you're doing. But then when they ask you to do something, not me. But after church is over, everybody, hey. Haven't worn this jersey in forever. Did you see that? But I blinged it out and everything. And I lost weight, too. You know, the fast really did me good. I put this on, and it used to be like that, but now it's like this. But see, you know, but listen, we come to church, we want to be seen. Now, when we're on a team, okay, now do the same thing as them. Get on your knee. One knee. Pick one knee. Pick one knee. Take a knee. Take a knee. Take a knee. Take a knee. There you go. Perfect. Perfect. So we have two teams, right? Two teams. Okay. Now, if you were to look at the two teams, looking at the two teams, which one do you think has the advantage? The larger ones? Why would you say that, Miss Lisa? Human nature, you pick the bigger ones. They're the stronger ones, the bigger ones. See, the thing with David in the Bible, David said, I don't care about how little I am. I don't care about how big they are, right? Look at them over there. Give them the mean look. Give them that mean look. Come on. There you go, Ricky. Do it again, Ricky. Well, y'all seen that? Go ahead, Ricky. Do that, Ricky. Why are you smiling? Look at them. That's your opponent. Look, look, look. Give him that look. Give that look, Ricky. Give him that look. Over there. Not me, them. Okay, now look. Here's what usually happens with the enemy that you're facing. They look at you and they're smile. It's okay. It's good. Come on. It's okay. It's okay. Beautiful smile. Everybody beautiful. We want to see some teeth. Okay? Now look. Just like the enemy thinks they have the upper hand because they look at how you are. Okay? So we're thinking now because of the bigger team, they're maybe faster, they're stronger. They wear those special shoes that make you jump higher, run faster, right? Right? So now what happens is you have to understand what David understood. David understood is this isn't about the giant, is it? This is about defending God. Who is it that comes to stand and defile the things of God? We are the army of God. And today, this is what David said, today they're going to know that there is a God in Israel. Right? And here we got these big old strong. Do it like that. Come on, flex. Now listen. The enemy is going to do everything to make you feel like you can't win. But what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to speak something to you and tell you, you remember when you were out there playing with those rocks and the slingshot? You know when you used to run when you would hit those cars? I was not only building your stamina so you can run farther, but so you can get more accurate. Now, they're so big, that shouldn't scare you. They're so big, you can't miss. Isn't that good? What you said now? Huh? What'd you say? He said, I've been making you practice on the rabbits and the little wolves. Now I'm going to bring you to the giant. And matter of fact, you can't miss this one. He's so big and thun-tada that you're going to be able to knock him out. See, what happened was, is that Jesus says, I know what's inside of you. And together as a team, we can do so much more. Amen. All right, give a hand clap to these team members over here. Go ahead, team. Thank you, team. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Good game face, Ricky. Good game face. Oh, my God. The older ones are dragging like they're so old. Oh, my knee hurts. My back hurts. Y'all act like y'all are 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 years old. They're the youngest in this church, and they walk around, oh, I'm tired. That's too far. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. And then I have a little rug burn right here. Woo-wee! So I say all of this so that I can preface what my message is. It's never about how you see yourself. It's how he sees you. Amen? So what I want you to do, and I will give you scripture so I can back up what I just talked to you about. And don't worry, I'm not taking you to David and Goliath. Here's what I want you to do. If you're taking notes, the title of this message is Teamwork That Makes the Dream Work. Teamwork that makes the dream work. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Dream work that makes the team work. Say it again like you mean it. Hold on now. Y'all went dream work. Teamwork that makes the dream work. Say it together now. All right. Just making sure we heard it now. We're all on a team. We're on God's team, correct? All right. I want you to go to Ephesians 4:16, please. Ephesians 4:16. No, I'm good. Ephesians 4:16. All right. When you're there, say amen. Ephesians 4:16. I'm going to begin reading out of the NIV. Ephesians 4:16 out of the NIV reads in this wise. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Did y'all get that? Did y'all read the same thing I read? Maybe in a different version, right? It builds itself up in love. Each part does its work. This kind of teamwork is telling you that we need to come together. We need to gather together and we need to work together, but we all play a part. Not everybody can be the quarterback. And not everybody can be the prize running back or the prize receiver. Every now and then we need to get some folks to get up on the line. You know, ain't nobody want to get on the line because they don't get recognized. But we need to have some people get on the line and come against the enemy. So your line is a line of defense against the defense. Your offensive line literally is defending their territory. When you're on offense, you're on defense. And when you're on defense, you're holding back the progression of the enemy. We know that, right? Well, in this particular scripture, God is trying to tell you is that teamwork is necessary. How many of you would like to see the church packed every Sunday? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you would like to have people saved and equipped to achieve greatness on a regular basis? Oh, look at that. Y'all are so awesome. How about how many of y'all would really like to see the church have incredible influence locally and globally for the glory of God? Yeah. Sounds good, right?
Woo!
Okay, here's a question that I have for you. How many of you dream of living a peaceful and yet purposed? How many of you dream of living in a peaceful yet purposed community that works together in harmony? Okay, maybe no. So in other words, how many of you would like to live in a community that's peaceful? No, I mean peaceful where you don't hear the music bumping so loud like at 3-4 o'clock in the morning and you start cursing at them before you come to church. You know how you do. You know, because they have the party and then and you're like Mr. Wilson looking over the fence trying to find out what's going on over there and how come you didn't get invited. You know, I'm talking about a peaceful community. Wouldn't you like that? Okay, how about the community where everybody has and shares the same values? Y'all want that? You don't have it right now? No, you don't, because a lot of people don't even know their own neighbors. You may know the one to the right and to the left. What about two houses down? Do you see what I mean? We really don't know the neighborhood in which we're in. But we all want the same thing. Let me ask you this. How many of you want to enjoy the job that you're working at? Some of y'all like, I'm not sure if I do or not. I'm not sure because I'm ready to get all out of there, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to do things together. We've got to make sure that we're that teamwork that God can put together. Here's what I wrote down. Great teamwork makes things happen more than anything else in organizations. Your family, your church, your ministry, your business, and your personal life. This is a quote I got from the internet. A football manager once commented on an interview. It says, it's easy to get good players. It's getting them to play together. That's the hard part. You know, you always want to go and get the superstar because the superstar stands out. But sometimes getting the superstar is not what you need. Sometimes you need to get some people that are not the superstars, and sometimes you got to go outside of the normal realm of recruiting. I watched a movie the other day on Netflix, and it was about this lady that was a coach for a swim team. And then she left being a swim coach to do the new golf team that came to the same school. So she transferred into that department to be the golf coach. But they didn't have the finances to go recruit these major players that everybody knew. Everybody was after them. Now, you know, have y'all seen Jerry Maguire, the movie? Huh? You complete me. Now, listen. Now, Jerry Maguire was an agent for a different agency that had the money to back that they can go and get all these major players, right? Remember the movie? But when he went on his own, he didn't have that kind of he didn't have that kind of money or influence. So he had to settle for someone that wasn't being looked at. But did you notice how he sacrificed everything for somebody that he had to hold on to? And in reality, they both helped each other out. You remember the movie? Okay, now, what happened was he got to know the player as an individual as opposed to another client. Remember that? Well, in this particular movie we were watching, this coach, she did the same thing. She didn't go, she couldn't go and look for all these great players that wanted all these kind of great rewards and top-notch schools. This was not a top-notch school. This was a school that never made it to anywhere. Should she have the resources to get the good players? So she went outside of the realm and went and recruited people from different countries that weren't the top of their class. Some of them didn't even go to college, but they were good. And she brings them. And she has to teach them on how to have teamwork, but how to respect one another and how to work with one another and how to encourage one another. Now, of course, like any movie goes, they don't show that kind of work that happens right away. It's a struggle learning how to work together as a team, isn't it? Because you got to start dealing with the egos. Yeah, maybe y'all don't understand. egos. Egos. And I don't mean the egos if I mean egos. Everybody has an ego. Has to deal with their pride. Has to deal with something that they don't want to give up. So it can take longer. Now, in this particular movie, she was messed up. She's a perfectionist. All she ever did, I want to be perfect, and my job is to do this. My job is to get you here. But she didn't have the personal relationship. So she couldn't require them to do something that they weren't seeing the sacrifice in her. Now, you can sacrifice and always be a perfectionist and always do good in your job and always do good in school. But if you don't sacrifice your personal, you understand that? The personal things so that you can make yourself personal and approachable to others. Then you begin to see them start to work together as a unit, as a team, and they were able to do greater together than apart. You understand? Now, what is that, the major that they play in golf? What is it, the Masters? Now, how do they select the teams? You have to qualify, but you may go to the Masters, but you're still playing as a team, right? Your individuality is only going to be beneficial when you come together. You understand that? You've got to come together. If you don't come together, you're never going to move forward in anything. You may stay where you're at, and you may think that you're getting all kinds of accolades for doing so good. But in reality, you're just trying to make a name for yourself. Just like in the story of the Tower of Babel. Y'all know that story? You know when they purpose together to Genesis 11, 1 through 4? I'll read it. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Now, the Tower of Babel is a picture of how people can get together even with the wrong motive and still do things great. But doesn't mean because it's the wrong motive that it won't be successful. Christians have this mindset thinking, well, if it's the wrong motive, it's not going to happen. That is not true. That particular scripture is telling you they had a wrong motive and they were able to do anything they wanted to do that it even caught the attention of God. God's attention, hey. Mijo, ven para acá. You see these folks? So your Bibles don't read like mine. Mine's different. You see these people there? They want to build a tower all the way up to us. I didn't invite them. But there ain't nothing they can't do because they're in unity. Do you see that? In order for us to achieve so much more, we have to be a team. Now, I'm not saying House of Manna be a team. I'm saying that the body of Christ has to unite. Break down every barrier, every cultural difference, every religious difference, every denominational separation and difference, and come together for the common goal. When you're able to do that, you can unite as a team and become one. And you can further the gospel of the kingdom of God. You can establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth when we can come together. But right now, it seems like the enemy has had the people of God standing against their own end zone as opposed to moving forward. Are you understanding that? How many of you have played football and they tell you, all you got to do is just get us 10 yards away from the end zone because now the sidelines and the end of the end zone is another opponent. Do you understand that? So they make you want to push and push just to get out of that area, the red zone. Because they want to make sure that you're going to advance. But what the enemy has done is kept us at that same place where we have started. And we stay there and we think that, oh, we're advancing, we're moving forward. You're just busy looking like you're a Christian. Somebody, y'all hear that? You're just busy looking holy. Because you put on the jersey, you put on the pads, you put on the helmet. But you never called in the service because you ain't ready. Because you just want to look good. Draw a paycheck. Thank God for people that volunteer in church. As opposed to people saying, I'll come play at your praise team, but I need to get paid. What you say? You want to get paid? Want to get paid? You want to get paid? You gonna get paid? You gonna pay? Oh yeah, you gonna get paid. You won't get paid because you ain't being obedient to God. I ain't gotta do nothing. Nobody else has to do anything. You've already determined yourself that I'm worth something. You need me. What I told you from the very beginning, God is our focus. Amen. Now for y'all, you spiritual and religious, you know, teachers in here, first thing you're going to come up with now is saying, oh, but we're worthy of a hire. I ain't taking no resume. Did you submit an application? No. Here's the thing. God is trying to tell us is that we must be ready and stay ready so that when he calls us, we step into action. Yeah. That we're ready to do what he's called us to do so that together as a team, we can achieve much more. So that we're not trying to make a name just for the house of manna, because that's not what I'm about. No, I'm about making a name that Jesus can say, I am the I am. I am the Lord who is highly exalted, who sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. If we could always point people to Jesus, they'll have an understanding not to look at us. How many of you encountered this before? Somebody has given you a prophetic word. In this house, not here. We don't do this here. No. But they give you a prophetic word. And now that I bless you, you got to bless me. Sow seed. And you want to seal that word. Y'all haven't experienced that? Yeah, because we don't do that here. Hallelujah. Hey, ain't nobody you want to. Y'all should have broke for you know, something. But look. Because they get up on TV and, you know, I got preachers. Look at here. Because people want to exhort people and they want to tell them how good they are. But then they're looking at a result. Hey. Worthy am I hire you? I didn't hire you. I'm on assignment from God. I don't need you to give me money. That ain't what it's about. And if it's a word from the Lord, it's because he's calling a play from the huddle that you don't want to get into. So he has to send someone that has an ear to hear and go out to the church and say, I've got a word for you. And then you get all mad when truth hits you between the eyes. That's not the word I was looking for. That's not God. I'm going to pray about it. Why do you think God has to send a word to you? Because you don't want to huddle up with the quarterback. You don't want to get in the place where Jesus is saying, I'm calling the shots. Why don't you get here? Oh, but you want to be the loner over here doing your thing. You want to be superstar. Had a visual Oscar. Remember that? Superstar. Do it, Oscar. Come on, Oscar. Do it. Superstar. Come on, Oscar. Come on. Superstar. Do superstar. Come on. Superstar. Andale. Superstar. Superstar. Now look. Look. So he has to send a prophetic word to you where you're at. And when he sends that prophetic word to where you're at, it's never, watch this, in the place where you should be. It's always in a place where you're not supposed to be. And he says, the Lord says this. All of a sudden, you start feeling that inclination to go towards the huddle. Right? Well, that's what a prophetic word does. It's to draw you back into the place of the perfect will of God. But if you don't listen and you start growing those horns. Bubba, stand right here, Bubba. Y'all better start doing some stretches before y'all come to church. Now look at here. What happens when you give a word and it's not a word that feels good, you start growing horns. You start growing horns. Where you were once a sheep, now you become a goat. Come on, sheep. Bah, get over here. Now, this is what happens when you get outside of the team. You begin to develop the horns, it becomes the goat, and the goat is a nature that's inside that begins to hurt the sheep. What happens is that the sheep get wounded. And guess what happens? Now the shepherd has to come in and deal with the wounding of the sheep. But if the shepherd doesn't deal with the horn of the goat, all the other sheep are going to get hurt too. So Jesus has to take the goats and separate the goats. Y'all don't want to hear this. Well, if you feel like I'm not a goat. I ain't got no horns. But if you're not amongst the fold like a team member and you always feel like you're isolated and separated, you may want to look in the mirror because you may have grown some horns. But guess who else gets hurt by the horns? The shepherds. Why? Because, come on, follow me. Because as the shepherd is dealing with the wounded, from behind the goats are getting the shepherd. And what happens with the goats always attacking the shepherd, now what happens is the shepherd begins to attack the sheep. That's a good goat. Now watch this. Now, don't miss this now. The shepherd is tending to the wounded. But if the shepherd only tends to the wounded, then the healthy scatter. Because the goat is always coming after the shepherd as well. And what happens is the shepherd will lash out to those that are wounded. And it creates an unhealthy environment. Amen. Thank you, goat. Thank you, sheep. Give a hand to the goat. Goat had it going on, did he? Goat had it going on. Now listen. That's a simple illustration. Is the team that God has put together is called a body. Christ's body is the body that he brought together, and we're all different parts of the body. Some of you have a mouthpiece that God wants you to use. You're going to be a voice. Others may have the eyes. You're going to be the visionaries. You're going to help see some things. You're intercessors. Some may be the hands where they're out there doing the actual work, helping feeding the homeless and doing all kinds of work out there. Some may be the feet that are carrying the good news to the people. But we also need a torso. We need the body that comes together. My hand is connected to my arm, which is connected to my torso. Where the body of Christ is where God has sent you to be, but you've got to be a team. Even though you're an individual, you come together collectively to do the thing that God has called us to do. Amen? But when we don't like to be told. All right. When we don't like to be told truth, what usually happens is we become bitter. And we become callous. You know what callous is? Hard. And you lose sensitivity. Have you ever worked in the yard for a long time and you get calluses right there? Some of y'all like yard. I don't do yards. I pay. Well, when you're writing that checks all the time, and you hold the pen real hard, Because you really didn't want to write that $1,000 check to the house of manna for your tithe today. You know, because you're being disobedient. You got the goat on you. But, you know, the Lord told you to sow. So we hold on real tight to the pen. Since some of y'all don't do yard work, okay? Or housework or any work, but. I love you. But somehow we hold the pen so hard. My teacher used to tell me, Marty, why do you hold the pen so hard? Because I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. True story. True story. I'll tell you my teacher's name, Miss McGiz, West Avenue Elementary School. I'll tell you, I remember. She told me, she says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you how to write better. How's that? Get that. And right away, I'm like, no, listen. I wasn't gordo no more. I was already in school. I was active, so I lost a lot of weight. But wait. Don't lose. I'm on track. I'm almost done. Now look, she said, I want you to get the jump rope, and I want to jump rope. I want you to jump rope 10 minutes a day. So I start jump roping. And then I come back. She's okay. Now write your name again. I still did it real hard because I was still nervous. I didn't, you know, my whole name. I should know how to write my name. Why am I nervous, right? I didn't want to mess up. Jump rope again. So then she says, do you know why I'm doing this? I'm like, why? I'm a kid. First grade. You know. She says, because I'm loosening up your wrist so that when you write, you don't have to hold on so tight. And you're not going to create that callus. And that when you hold it tight, that's my wife when I would write all those long, beautiful poems and notes. She goes, look at you. You write all fancy and stuff. That's how I got it. I wrote that note. No problem. But started writing like this. I didn't hold on so tight. So my callus went down. I was able to write. Now, I say all of this because what happens when we're growing in God, we become callous in some area of our life, in our Christian walk. But if we don't know how to operate differently in that area, you're going to create the same callousness around there. And you're going to be desensitized to what God wants to do in that very area because you're holding on too tight. And he wants you to let go. And when he tells you to let go, it's not for just your personal good. It's for the good of the team. Ministry. Establishing the kingdom. Do you understand? No. For some of you, I say, well, I don't write either. Okay. What I've noticed also in this generation, you know where the callus is at? The thumbs and their fingers. Now it's touchscreen. Why is it that they're so fast? Right? Watch this. Watch. You can mark this prophetic word. This generation is going to begin to get tendonitis if they're not careful. You don't think so? They've had to do all these kinds of ergonomic keyboards to make you hold your hand. But what happens, they haven't developed it for, there's a phone on them. Well, they ain't a phone. This is one. This is what we call a palm computer. Now watch it, but watch this. I'm going to make my point here. Now you got to stretch because it's so big. Okay? Remember when we used to have those flip phones? I know. You still got yours? Where's yours? So, where's yours? Who's yours?
Dinosaur. I got the dinosaur.
That's my work phone. It's my work phone. Okay. I'm just playing, Sylvia. Calm down. We talk about offenses now. I'm wounded. You're being the goat, Pastor. Are y'all having a good time? Okay, I'm almost done. I'm not going to keep you long. I have a whole bunch of notes. And I'm going to continue this next Sunday. Is that all right? Because what the Lord has been giving me are series. Okay. See, that's what happens when you get small phones because you can never find them. And it's all right. Okay, Sylvia, calm down, calm down. We don't need it, Sylvia. We don't need it. We don't need it. But look. Okay. Now look, look. Give me up, Scotty. Okay. Now, we go from having the little, remember that? Everybody had one. Don't act like you didn't. Or the one you would slide up, you know, the chocolate. And then you have to go through and you're going to do a texting like this. Watch, the only thing that is working, watch this, is the thumb. Right? Can I just share with you what God has been trying to show us all along, even through technology? Hold your hand up, please. Hold your hand up. Set it right here. Your thumb is the apostle. They can touch every one of your fingers. You see that? The apostolic is being established here in the kingdom of God. And what he's doing, he's been training us up to understand that without the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the teacher and the pastor, we are never going to advance the kingdom of God. We need to work together as a whole. And that the hand of God will bring the fivefold ministry together so that the apostleship, the headship as a father, can begin to raise up these particular offices and raise up people in their gifting to send them out to do the work of the kingdom of God. You understand that? Now, what the trick of the enemy is, I'm going to make it so it's harder. Stand up here, stand up here. And now, things have grown. So now you got to use two. Division. Because now we need to have someone that speaks prophetically. And we need to have someone that's a teacher in our life. But you don't know which one to submit to. So the calluses begin to work on both. And what happens is your spirit becomes callous. Oh, this is good. This is not even my notes. This is free for you today. Free. Now, it gets a little awkward that you have to put your attention on it because what you're cradling, the very thing that you think is yours. And it's been God's all along. But you have a tendency to use your home-based church for certain things that you like. But then you'll use other ministries that you want to follow because they tickle the ear that you want to have tickled. Causing callousness so that you don't hear the Spirit of God for yourself. Thank you, sir. So, Pastor, were you playing around for a minute? And then you just start talking like this. And can we just get our banana, please, and our donuts so we can go? But look. In closing, this is what I want to share with you. That we're all part of the team together. And everybody has a special gift. Everybody does. Not one is greater than the other. Collectively, the gifts are for the kingdom. Not for you. You're just the vessel carrying that gift. That when God says, oh, you're up. He's calling the identity that is in you, which is him, to come up so he knows what to draw out of you. Because some people work better in certain situations, not to say that you're better than that person. But in this situation, he knows who to call on. See, he knows on who to get in a certain time with a certain group of people who is going to be more effective against a certain demon. The biggest demon that is taking place right now that is coming against the church is a spirit called religiosity. And what happens, religion begins to divide and separate the body from the purpose and the will of God. But if we get so focused on following after the thing that we think is ours and we're going to cradle that is ours, God says, unless you lay that thing down, Abraham, you're never going to see the fulfillment that I said you will have. Put it on the altar and let me provide for you the sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Feel my helper. Took him a while, but he's here. But here's the thing. We want to do things so that we can be seen. Some of the greatest people that I've ever met in my life are the most meek and humble people, are also the most powerful people that I've ever come across. They're not trying to be seen up here. They're not trying to be heard out there. They're the ones that have been praying so that others can do the very thing that God has called them to do. And you think, oh, you need to be doing your ministry. You don't know what the ministry is. God may have you on your face, and that's the ministry God has called you to. He's saying, get on your face. Cry until you can't cry no more. Pray till you can't pray no more. And wail when you can't wail no more. And watch where the Spirit begins to make intercession for my people. And you may not see the fruit of it, but don't quit and don't stop. You're only getting ready to call the shots. And you're going to advance forward, and you're going to push Him back. And as you push Him back, you will cross that line. And as you cross that line, you will understand you have victory!